just giving back to the communities, you know, helping. And I was leaving up the hill, and when I could barely hear them, it really hit me. All these people are respected me and honored me when I was leaving, and for all the help I've done. And that's the reward, you know, was the feeling that I got. How proud I was of the way I was brought up to give, you know, help them, help the people. And then when I got up top, there was even more people on top waiting. They messaged from down below. They messaged, he says, his leaving is just about to the top. And there was quite a few people up there. I was surprised because my horse started, his ears went up and he started whinnering. And I got there and I could hear the drums. They were singing because they all got their salmon. And I couldn't believe, like, the little ones come and ask me, you want a pop, you want a water, you know, trying to look after me as I was leaving. So that's the appreciation that I can get from the people, just to know that respect is there. The change, you know, the thing that I can see and feel with my heart now is, you know, respect is earned, not given no more. Not like back in my drunken high days, you know. And that's one of the greatest rewards that I can accept.
You know, and you told me that. I remember you phoned me and your voice was cracking up. You're so emotional. And I was saying, what a powerful story about the second circle. You know, and you were generous, you're respectful, and you appreciate them. And they could feel it, so they give it back to you. Because where he's talking about that fishing ground, I've been there, and I walk down on foot. It's steep trails, and it's hot in the summertime. It's really steep. I want to let you know, it's a mile down up to the, you have to cross the tracks and get up to the road. So those people that were there when he packed up, I packed fish out of there, you know, in a knapsack. And I have to stop and rest on the way up, not too fast. Now I have to get the fish to the truck, you know, so I got ice up there.
Yeah.
So where he's talking about, it's a real challenge to get up there. So I can see why the people would raise their hands to him and sing for him, using his horse to help them. And also being kind to them and respectful and appreciate them as being part of the circle. So that's why I'm glad Chakamshlach is here today to talk about returning to the circle again and again and again. That we don't stop. We keep giving to that circle and give back to us. Family circle, second circle, community circle, then the third circle. The one that I resist at times, you know, the Canadian circle. It's there. It's real. We can't deny it. It's there. You know, so Chakamshlach, I'd like to thank you for coming to us to share. You know, it's just a small part of your life. But the important part's about circles. Think of those three circles. We're part of a circle, you and I. We helped you build the sweat lodge here. That's the sweat lodge circle in Kalzaton, where we go look at ourselves. That's another circle. And because we do the same, we can help each other, you know, and support each other and that. And there's other circles too, like Sundance circles, you know, and sharing circles. But you shared now with the people. So I'm going to ask you now to share a message for the people. And you can pick the group that you want, with family circle or community circle or Canadians. Just send out a message today, what's in your heart now, what you'd like them to maybe lay a teaching at their feet or encourage them to do something that perhaps you didn't do right away when you're challenged, but then you do it, you remember, oh, I'm on the phone, or whatever you're going to do. So give a message, Chakamslach, to the people.
Gee, okay. Well, I would really like to send a message to the people, you know, to all the circles, you know, the family, the community, you know. The challenges is one of the biggest things that we have to face. And the thing is to do with myself, you know, when there's a death, you know, whether there's an overdose, you know, is to stop and think. And ask myself, is this honoring my spirit? Or is it honoring anyone else's spirit? My next step. Because there's choices that I have to make. Whether I'm under stress, the emotions, you know. Make wise decisions. Tell, you know, find that way to tell yourself, this isn't the way, drugs and alcohol. You know, reach out for help. Reach out if it takes making that phone call. Like I felt I was almost gone. But I had in my mind, my heart, I needed to talk to somebody and let them know. And I reached out. And I asked you. I phoned you. You're my elder. I apprentice under you. I reached out and I asked, what can I do? And just by hearing your voice, settled me down. And then your knowledge is the one that really helped me take that tiny step forward. So listening to our elders, you know, listening to other eyes that they can, their point of view on the situation. Because sometimes others can see what I can't see in my own self. And I told myself, there's no way around it, no way over it, no way under it. I have to walk straight through that sacred fire of healing. No way around it.
Oh, that's powerful. Because you said sacred fire of healing. It's the first time I heard that statement. Because the fire will burn away the negativity. It's like when we go to the sweat lodge, that heat chases out the toxins from our body just by sweating, you know. Yeah. So the fire burns away the negativity. Yeah. Oh, thank you for those words. And I know people are gonna love that message out there. So I'd just like to thank all of you for coming to Teachings in the Air. And you know, the teachings today in the air are returned to the circle again. and again and again. Because you will fall off the circle at times that pass. But go back.
Yes.
Pick up the phone, visit, you know, reach out to the circles. And I guess the most part, you know, is when you take out, put back in. So when someone from your circles help you, you remember you have to put that back in again, help somebody. So I'd like to thank my guest today for being with us on this podcast, and I look forward to returning to the Circle 3.
Yes.
Thank you, Chakam Schlag.
Cook's jam. Thank you.
Sold my house, packed up my van. I tried to outrun it years ago. But I'm something quick and new. Left that town in endless limbo. You said I can't keep doing this. I looked down, said yeah. Thank you.
Bird note. Once nesting season ends, these violet-green swallows seem to know it's time to party. They usually nest as single pairs in cavities or nesting boxes. But now, they gather on electrical wires by the dozens in the western United States, chattering away as part of their pre-migration networking. They're not alone. Tree swallows often join the violet-greens before they all begin their southbound migration to Mexico and Central America. Cliff swallows may gather the same way, and so will barn swallows, not just in North America, but across Europe and into China, too. Birds flock for protection. The more eyes watching, the greater the chance of noticing predators, and the harder it is for predators to single out any one bird. Also, birds flock to share information about where to find food. Migrating by day, swallows forage for insects as they move farther south. When they return in the spring, you won't see them sitting around on telephone wires. In spring, it's all business, as the swallows start selecting their sites and building their nests. They'll save all that socializing for the fall. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.